The Viewpoint, 8 to 10 p.m. Flipping conventional wisdom on its head. Songe Somapete on SAFM.
21:24 is the time the much-awaited conversation finally is taking place. The NEF and the local East London businesses are set to create 33 new jobs in the tourism sector, targeting unemployed people from the local village. The NEF will be investing some 11 million in Zed Hiring, a 100% black woman-owned player in the meetings, incentives, conferences and exhibitions subsector of tourism. The funds will go towards the expansion of the business with the construction of state-of-the-art function venue and a chapel in Kids Beach, East London. The project aspires not only to elevate tourism in the region, but also to create a cascading effect benefiting various businesses' interconnectedness within the province's tourism value chain. Let's speak first to Ms. Nomazizis Pondo, fund manager at the National Empowerment Fund. Zizigazi, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us and welcome to SAFM. I do appreciate your time.
Hi, Sangezo. Hi to everyone, and thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much. National Empowerment Fund does important work, particularly in addressing some of the socio-economic challenges, particularly to people who otherwise would fall outside the mainstream, and make of that definition whatever you will, mainstream. But it's a game changer and a leveler in many respects, and an opportunity for many people who otherwise have what it takes to do what South Africa requires, young entrepreneurial spirit people, especially from the previously disadvantaged groups, but not necessarily only them. Tell us about the impact of the NEF and some of the success stories you have witnessed over the time of your being there.
Thank you, Sangezo. So, yeah, the NEF has always been at the forefront of transformation.
I'm losing my guest. The NEF has always been at the forefront of transformation. And then the line went silent. I wonder what it is. Of course, I do understand that in that part of the country anyway, there is inclement weather. I'm not suggesting Ms. Nomazizi is in that part of the country anyway. But let's park that response for a moment and just move along with or to Ms. Catherine Ndunjwa, who is the CEO of Zed Hiring, who's the beneficiary, if you will, of this empowerment endowment from the NEF. Mrs. Ndunjwa, good evening, ma'am. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the air, dear friend. Now, this is a conversation that is 2-3 years, nearly too late. Nonetheless, we're having it, and that's the important part.
Hello, Songezo, and hello to all the listeners who I'm online, yes.
Thank you.
I'm flattered that you're calling me a CEO, but in small businesses, we don't have that position.
Well, take the flattery, because I think at some point it might work somewhere, you know. But nonetheless, ma'am, you are the proprietor. You're running a successful business. I follow your Instagram pages, and I'm fortunate to be in your circle in that I at least have access to your WhatsApp posts every now and then. The Amber Venue, Zed Decor, everything that you guys are doing, it seems as though you have the Midas touch and everything turns to gold. Walk us through the journey, first, of your experiences of being a corporate employee here in this part of the country, Pretoria to be specific, making the decisive move and the dividends that seemingly are paying off at this stage in the game.
I think for me it's just been simple, Songezo. It's me following my passion. It's something that I've always enjoyed doing. I started small. That started as a hiring company. We were hiring out chairs in the beginning. The company is about 9 years old. This year, next year, we'll be reaching our 10-year milestone. So we started off very small, gradually grew ourselves to a self-funded for up to when we started building the venue. So it's just basically baby steps, identifying the gaps in the market that we're operating in and just growing within the industry. I would say that's how we started, and that's the journey. Really.
Tell us more about the business. So for somebody who wants to understand exactly what it is, if they want to probe if their ideas, which may be similar to those of yours, if the baby steps that they are on right now might mirror your baby steps, if you could just articulate a bit more and in greater detail what Decor Hiring is all about, what the Amber Venue is all about, before we talk about the investment and the relationship that you would have had to have had with the National Empowerment Fund?
So Decor Hiring, it basically has two legs to the business. We've got the event side where we hire out chairs, tables, cutlery, glasses, basically anything that you would need on the decor side and furniture rental side of your events. So we service things like weddings, birthday parties, anniversaries, funerals, anything related to events. So we also do flowers. It's decor and furniture rentals. So that is what the decor hire side does. And then we've established the Amber Venue, which is it's a wedding venue, but we don't only host weddings. We also host birthday parties. We host any type of event. The Amber Venue is situated in Kids Beach. It's got a capacity of 300 people. It's situated on a 29-hectare farm. We have a reception hall, and we also have a chapel on site. So the business has basically it's become a one-stop shop where you can have your wedding at our venue. At the same time, we do the decor for you as well as the client. So
yeah,
in a nutshell, that's what we do.
I get that. Let's talk about, I mean, to be able to make this investment, there would certainly have been some serious R&D. You say it was self-funded to the point where you needed to actually establish the venue, and that comes with the purchasing of the land and all of those. Now, these are genuine commitments where you effectively are saying you're in it for the long haul. How did you get to the point where the decision was made you needed to do this business just outside East London, and specifically Kids Beach? The business modeling, or the questions you would have had to have asked and have positively answered, including but not limited to demand and certain uptakes, if this is part of the business itself, having certain uptake agreements or commitments that would justify the investment, all of the things that you would need it to have presented to and satisfied to the National Empowerment Fund so that you would be able to get the support.
I think the most important thing, Songezo, is to offer what I needed to show the NEF is that I did my homework. So before I even approached them, I had already purchased the land. I had my architectural drawings ready. I had did my feasibility studies, market studies. So and I could prove to them that it's an opportunity in the city. Yes, there are venues, but let's elevate what venues do in the Eastern Cape. So it's proving, first of all, that you've got a bit of skin in the game, because I don't think you can go to the funder and expect them to invest money, but you haven't even invested your own money. I think you just need to prove to them that you are serious about what you are doing. Also, that hiring had a good reputation already in the events industry space. So it was easier for us to actually enter the market into a venue, because people in the industry already knew us. And that was something we could also prove to the NEF. I don't know if I've answered your question.
You have, because it brings me back, I suppose, to the initial question that I had put to Nomazizi when asking if she could share some of the success stories of what the work of the National Empowerment Fund has been. And I would imagine parts of it are the kinds of stories that you hear from the Catherine Dundras of the world, who come, are prepared, who have invested the so-called skin in the game, and make your task of doing the necessary due diligence from a funder perspective that much easier. Share with us the more Catherine Dundras of the world whose success stories are proof that indeed the work of the NEF is important, and that South Africans can have a stake in the economy, however big or small. Nomazis.
Thank you. Thanks, Songezo. Happy to hear the positive feedback from Catherine.
So since inception, the NEF has approved over 1,600 transactions. We have, to the value of 14 billion, and we have channeled about 10 billion into the economy. So that's our disbursement of the transactions that we've approved. And all of that, all the disbursements that we've made have resulted in the creation of over 120,000 jobs. And in fact, in the tourism space, I'm happy that we're talking to Kathleen today. So tourism is a very important sector for the NEF, and we're seeing a lot of applications from, the targeted regions, the rural areas and the township economies outside of the main metros. We're seeing a lot of applications from the less developed parts of the country. And so it is it's a very important space for the NEF, and we have we've channeled about 350 million into the sector along in partnership with the Department of Tourism.
Let's talk about an important concession that Kathleen made reference to, and I think this is something that perhaps is in many ways, unfortunate as it may be, a way of yet differentiating people who need assistance. Skin in the game, Kathleen, and rightfully enough, if I'm going to invest, for instance, my money, I need somebody to show to me that they are invested. Is it always going to be the case, and this is the question, that a fundee or investee will have the necessary investments or the capital available for oneself to be able to at least satisfy that aspect that I've got skin in the game? In other words, how strong a criteria is that for one to be able to be a recipient of your grants?
So because we understand the space that we play in, we understand our target market. It's not always a requirement for our applicants and our clients to have skin in the game. And that's why we have over the years, we've reached out to co-funding partners, such as the likes of the Department of Tourism and the DTIC to try to raise concessionary funding, which we call third-party funding. What that does is, the NEF is able to then put up senior debt, and then we can get, less expensive debt or concessionary funding from our co-funding partners. And what that does is, if there is a grant element or less expensive funding facility in the structure, there isn't much skin in the game that is needed. So that's been driving our drive to seek out concessionary funding. In instances where the transaction, we are trying to get the application to get to commercial viability and to be able to afford the funding that, is required from the National Empowerment Fund, then we will, in those instances, there might be a requirement for equity or for own contribution, but it isn't, it's not compulsory for all of our applicants to have skin in the game.
I'll ask the final question of you, Ms. Nomazizi, before I go to Ms. Dundra for her final contribution. Beyond the funding, in other words, you've given the money or you've made available the credit facility, however the funding model itself work, then what from the NEF to the investee or to the fundee? Is there anything on that?
Yes. Thanks, Angela. So what we generally do is, once we have funded you, once you're in the, you're in the portfolio, you would then be handed over to our post investment unit, and that unit would monitor the investment. And should you either need further mentoring or further additional capital, those are the that's the unit that would come back to the NEF to say you need additional support. We do also have non-financial support. So in the past, we've funded applicants that don't necessarily have experience or a lot of exposure in the sectors they would like to go into, because the NEF is open to basically South Africans. Every single entrepreneur that would like to set up a business or would like to expand, but we understand that you might be limited in terms of experience. We've got non-financial support as well. So we've got mentors on our panel that would assist you with, you know, with guidance and a mentorship as well to get you to a place where you are able to independently manage your business. So, and then we've got, you know, we've got posts, we've got the non-financial support. And we always, you know, should you ever need additional support as well, in, you know, if things don't go the way you would have liked them to go, you know, we could always then assist you through our TWR or turnaround structures. And then, again, because we understand that our, you know, our clients might also be struggling with market access, there's an opportunity to introduce you to other businesses in our portfolio or to drive traffic into your business if that is necessary. Once you're in the portfolio, it's much easier for you for a few more doors for us to be able to help you open up a few more doors, you know, along the way.
Well, you heard it here on SAFM, ladies and gentlemen. Ms. Nomazizi's Pondo, Fund Manager, National Empowerment Fund, for all your queries related to funding. First things first, do your homework. Do your homework. Do your homework. I cannot stress that enough, because you will be asked serious questions. And if you have not done your due diligence, now the last thing you want is to be given audience and for you to give them reason not to give you further audience. In other words, do your homework, do all the assessments and the research and the development, do whatever you need to do so that once you have audience with the National Empowerment Fund, it becomes that much easier for them to support you. Ms. Nomazizi's Pondo, thank you so much, ma'am, for your time. Before we sign out, Catherine Dunjo, I suppose the most important question that I suppose your business now needs to worry about is growth. You've got the institutional support. You've got your own skin in the game. You've decamped from Gauteng to the Eastern Cape. And the rubber has to hit the tar. How do you manage the small things which I suppose a business fundee will not necessarily be an expert in, and that's running payroll, running the legal and compliance aspects associated with running a business, making sure there's sufficient marketing out there so that your business is top on the search lists, the word of mouth, you mentioned earlier on reputation, the importance of that as a referral business that you are in, together with managing growth. The more people demand your service and offerings, the more you have to honor that. And at some point, certain decisions have to be made, whatever they are. Tell us about some of these things now that are the reality of being the MD or CEO, call yourself what you will, of Zad Decor Hiring. Is Catherine there?
I am still here, Bobby.
Yes, indeed.
I think it's very different. Because I came from corporate. I decided to do this full time. I'm in the business daily. The business is run by myself and my husband. We both chartered accountants, so we've got a bit of background on business related issues. But I think it's very important to also hire experts. We are accountants, but we don't do our own books, by way of example. We've got oversight over that. And it's just also one of the biggest challenges is working capital management, because we are in a very seasonal space. We're busy 1 month, we're quiet another. So it's what's very important in this space is actually managing your cash flows. You need to be able to pay your debts in the quiet months as well. You need to pay your staff. Also, just being surrounded by a very strong team. A lot of the guys that are with us still today, they were with us even in the hiring company. They've been with us for almost the entire 10 years that we've been in operation. So it's building trust with your employees and understanding that the importance of having the right people in your business. And just giving people a good service, not forgetting that actually our primary funder is our client. Whenever we have an event, we need to ensure that if we've got 200 people at the Amber venue, let's make sure that at least one comes back. And that person brings another 100, and then we make sure from that 100, one comes back. And slowly but surely, the business will grow. We're only literally 8 months old. We have hosted 30 events. There's 34 weeks in 8 months, so that's one event almost every week. So we are doing something right. Yes, we are not perfect, but we are definitely doing something right. I think the gap was definitely there in the market, judging by the response that we are getting from people in East London. And our long-term aim is not just to be a venue in East London, but it's actually to become a destination venue where someone from Joburg actually wants to come and get married in East London because they want to use the Amber venue. So we do have a bigger plan that we are working towards, but I believe in baby steps. I think if I had approached the NEF 10 years ago and told them that I wanted to build a venue, my funding would have probably been declined. But I had to start with 100 chairs, move to 200 chairs, to hire out cutlery, do the work first, and then ask for these big monies in inverted commas. So I think it's about baby steps, and growth will come. Do the right thing, do right by your clients, value them, value your staff, and just, yeah. And then literally just think about what you do. Don't just do it.
Think about what you do. Don't just do it. Value your clients, value your staff, do your homework, and then the big problems will come, as will the open-close quote, big money. Thank you for your time, Ms. Catherine Dunja of Zed Decor Hiring. I'm not going to give you a title, but it's enough to say this is your brand, this is your baby, and may your baby grow old and outlive you. You have my best wishes.
Thank you, Naba.
Ah, she remembered. Fantastic. 2146, everybody. We're doing well here. Let's play some voice notes from the previous conversation. Thank you so much to Ms. Nomazizis Pondo and Ms. Catherine Dunja for that.
Hi, guys. It's a great topic, and I think it's a very crucial one that we all need to talk about. And I think it's important the way that we all talk about this topic, in that there are always going to be positive experiences with negative experiences. And I think that if people talk about the negative ones as if they are the general, instead of realizing and acknowledging that the general is actually the more positive experience, then I guess we'll never move on, and there'll always be these rifts or these conflicts between nations and so on, as sometimes trivial or as jokingly put as they might be. But yeah, I think the way that we talk about our experiences is very important. Anyway, this is Andre from Eastern Cape.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you? Mafuta here. What a wonderful topic. But for me, the image of a country is in the main dependent on each and everyone in that particular country, let alone the behavior of the management of the country by its government. There's a story that says, or there's a saying that says, if a man from one country cannot make love to a woman in another country, it will mean that all men from that country cannot make love. That's how people take it. That's how it is. But on a serious note, it's upon us as Africans to shape the image of our countries responsibly, as individuals, as those in management of the country, as governments.
Good evening, gentlemen. Beautiful, beautiful topic you on. I'm South African. I've been to over 20 countries on the continent, and not just once, but several times, about 10 times in Senegal, another 8 times in Nigeria, that type of thing. I love the continent, and I feel the love of the continent. I've only had great moments on the continent. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm interested in the book, so please give us the title of it at the end. This is Malerato. Good night.
Malerato, the title of the book is Witness, literally Witness. And it's written and authored by P. Pacific Kabulira Uwase. So it's available on Amazon, exclusive books especially, and I think that would be more accessible, generally speaking, if you want to get the look and feel of the book as well. But on Amazon, the gentleman tells me it is available there, so you'd do well to get your hands on that book. It promises to be a riveting account. I did page through it. He really talks about his experience as a boy in Kigali, the genocide, after the genocide, coming and, well, rather leaving Rwanda, and the stories that he made mention of in my exchange with him earlier on, to being in South Africa, and the sheer dogged determination that found him as a Mandela Rhodes Scholar. For anybody who knows anything about academia and Mandela Rhodes Scholar, that is a seriously prestigious award, and he did it. That's why you cannot keep a good man down. The words I used to describe him were indefatigable. I'll use another one. Irrepressive. 21:50 is the time. After the break, Mr. Craig Wilkinson, CEO and founder of Father a Nation.